Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The Wake Up Call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Friends and lovers, welcome to the greatest show on earth. Possibly you've read about the latest drug being created by the mad scientists of the world. The men and women who have yet to cure cancer or slow the spread of AIDS are working on a pill that will erase painful memories. Personally, I'd rather we spent research time and money on people with Alzheimer's, whose pleasant memories have been erased. But scientists around the world are performing studies on propranolol, a drug believed to disable the storage of long-term hurting memories, helping to reduce post-traumatic stress disorder. It's quite easy for me to stand on my soapbox and question the need of this pill, since comparatively I have had very little stress and zero traumatic events in my life to date. But some people coast through life and others are presented with constant speed bumps and roadblocks. To me, this is what life is all about. Emotionally handling our challenges, making decisions with consequences. Reining in the highs while climbing up from the lows. Whether or not you believe in a supreme being, doesn't everyone consider personal growth and challenge a major aspect of human life? But these scientists believe that we should attempt to make the person mentally whole with the same effort we would attempt to make them medically whole. Is that such a bad goal? Current numbers show that about 20% of trauma victims suffer post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a large group when you consider the traumas of 9/11, the 2004 tsunami, Hurricane Katrina, the Iraqi war, and the evils of everyday life. But we've all learned that pharmaceutical solutions don't come cheap. The medications created to help with even fatal diseases are incredibly expensive, with drug companies making millions of dollars or more in profit every year. To debate, the government has spent $4 billion on soldiers returning from Iraq with post-traumatic stress. Imagine the money to be made on the pill that helps reduce their stress, or the strength of emotion suffered by hurricane and tsunami victims. Do you think this pill would be freely distributed with food and blankets at an emergency shelter? Understand now, I see the value of something like propranolol. Rape victims and sufferers of child abuse deserve every opportunity to make their memories less painful and intense. But our culture over-medicates everything. By the way, I take that back. I have had a traumatic event in my life. Pass me one of those pills and maybe I can begin to get over the 2004 presidential election. Oh, let's see, 11:04 here on the wake-up call. Halfway through February already, and I just got over my January 1st hangover from having to show up on a Sunday morning just for you, by the way, live on January 1st. We're live again January 15th here deep in Charlottesville. What I think is going to be a very interesting show full of phone calls today, hopefully. Two ladies in the program, Kim Lowe, Becky Reed. Becky is the Planned Parenthood grassroots organizer. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, we may need to turn that up a little bit. Catherine producing the show today as she comes rushing in to take care of that. Kim, how are you this morning?
I'm very well.
And your role, you're a volunteer at Planned Parenthood?
Yes, I am.
Do you have greater duties over there?
I am.
You like solve all the problems?
I wish. That would be quite nice.
So you volunteer. In what way do you volunteer?
I volunteer with a lot of the grassroots campaigns that Becky coordinates. Over this past summer, I actually set up a table to inform women in Albemarle and Charlottesville about emergency contraception and the services that Planned Parenthood provides.
And that is really a lot of what our conversation today is going to be about, is emergency contraception, or as I'm calling the program, the morning after pill. Just so the ladies can correct me later on in the hour. Becky, let's get back to you. What, you're the grassroots organizer. What kind of grassroots programs are taking place over at Planned Parenthood?
Well, sure. Grassroots organizing is about building the base of support for choice here in Virginia as it is increasingly under attack, which is something we're certainly getting to today, what's happening down in Richmond at the Virginia General Assembly. But basically, at the heart of it is people caring about issues and learning more about them, and then being able to share that knowledge and empower other people to learn about emergency contraception, learn about bills that are going through the Virginia General Assembly, and then be empowered to do something about it, to come to Pro-Choice Lobby Day, to write a letter to the editor, to put a phone call into their delegate or senator's office about a bill.
All right, so let's get started with the first question, because I saw the eyes go up when I mentioned it. I've got it listed as the morning after pill. You have each already referred to it as emergency contraception. What's the difference in the connotation?
Well, emergency contraception is just a larger dose of birth control, and it can be taken within 120 hours of unprotected sex. However, if it's taken within 72 hours, it can reduce the risk of unintended pregnancy by 75%. But when taken within 24 hours, it is 95% effective.
But why call it emergency contraception rather than the morning after pill, which is how you read, which is how you often hear it described in newspaper articles, radio call-in shows, et cetera.
Well, it's really just, it's kind of a problematic misnomer because it would lead to the assumption that, you know, it's only available to you immediately after an incidence of contraceptive failure or sexual assault. But when really you have up to 120 hours, although as Kim just stated, it is most effective the soonest you can get to it, 95% effective within 24 hours. But basically it's about just letting people know you can still access it within 5 days and it's still worth getting emergency contraception.
So if I called it the 5 day after pill, is that going to be, you know, because that's more accurate, is that going to, does that change how you would prefer that it be phrased?
That might help. Actually, there's been a health campaign saying it's not just the morning after, it's the morning after that and the morning after that. So a similar idea. And it is just important that people know, you know, maybe an incident happened and they didn't know about emergency contraception, which we are well aware is a huge problem. And maybe Kim could speak to the fact because she's had so much experience educating people about emergency contraception.
Well, one of the most popular misconceptions about emergency contraception, not only is that it has to be used the morning after, but also what it is. A lot of people, at least when I was volunteering over the summer, confused it with RU486, a.k.a. the abortion pill. They're two totally different drugs. Emergency contraception cannot terminate a pregnancy, for instance, whereas RU486, its purpose is designed to terminate an early pregnancy. To the best of my knowledge, the reason that this is known as the morning after pill is that originally it was used by doctors for victims of rape and sexual assault. And more often than not, Becky can correct me on this if I'm wrong, it was available in emergency rooms. Hence, I think, why it's known as the morning after.
Yeah, it was developed in the 60s, and it's really, that's surprising to a lot of people, you know, who even know about it to begin with, that it's been around for so long, and we still don't have the public awareness of it that we should at this point. But it was developed in the 60s to treat survivors of sexual assault and has only within the past 15 years gotten a wider audience with the public and a wider application. Only a handful of women, 6%, report ever having used emergency contraception just because the public knows so little about backup birth control.
Now, backup birth control. Now, that's another interesting phrase that we'll throw out there. Now, we'll get into some greater details about the upcoming issues in the just started General Assembly session. But that's really why the program is on today, is because there are some issues upcoming in the General Assembly over the next, I guess this is a 60-day session. Yeah. So we will, and your goal, obviously, is to inform listeners and anyone, I guess. People make their own choice, but your goal is to inform listeners as to sort of take some of the mystery out of what's going on here. One of my questions is, it's called emergency contraception.
Correct.
What's the emergency?
Again, a sexual assault situation, a contraceptive failure, so to be more specific, a condom breaks, a woman has missed one or two pills out of her pill pack earlier in the month, or was late putting in her Nuva ring. You know, basically, contraceptives, hormonal contraceptives, are highly effective when used, you know, exactly according to label, but the fact of the matter is, we're human, you know, users of that contraception are not perfect, so sometimes there are problems throughout the month which might lead someone to back up their birth control. So, for instance, if a condom does break, getting to emergency contraception as soon as you can. And women are able to have emergency contraception on hand, and we encourage everyone to do that, especially as the Virginia General Assembly seeks to limit access and the FDA continues to sit on the application to make emergency contraception available over the counter.
Now, one of your goals for this session, it sounds like already in the program, 1111 here on today's wake-up call, is to educate the listeners more, because there is a difference between, as Kim already stated, the abortion pill and emergency contraception. But we have several groups out there around the state who seem to be trying to make them sound the same or similar. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I remember when, just in doing my volunteer work over the summer, I remember that a lot of people were convinced that this was the same product. A lot of times, too, there is a lot of misinformation. Becky could elaborate more on this, but there are some anti-choice groups that are putting out misinformation about what emergency contraception is and what it can and cannot do.
That's absolutely right. They're purposefully propagating myths. And, you know, again, using so many, I think part of the problem is that we have so many terms for emergency contraception, you know, EC, that you know, backup birth control, morning after pill. And then, you know, there are also all these terms for RU46, which is an early medication abortion used up to 7 weeks. And again, those two things are very different, but we have all these different names. And then there are groups out there propagating misunderstandings about what is contraception and what is an abortion, when those two things are very clearly different.
Such as
emergency contraception.
Well,
and
what are some of the myths that are being spread to make the two sound the same?
Well, they'll address both topics within, you know, the same breath. You know, purposefully interchange the two things. They will outright call emergency contraception an abortifacient. And in fact, we have seen legislative attempts to blur the lines between contraception and abortion.
Are there any states that currently allow the RU486, the abortion pill, here in the United States?
Oh, it is. It's legal in Virginia. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, you can get that at a Planned Parenthood in Virginia.
Yeah, but the one thing to make sure everyone understands is it's not. The kind of thing there, you go to your pharmacist and you get it. It's administered at a medical office like Planned Parenthood, or, you know, an obstetrician's office or a gynecologist's office. You go and, you know, it's administered in the office. It's not the kind of thing that women are getting prescriptions for and going to the pharmacy for. It's not available to women at the pharmacy.
Would, and again, this, as I mentioned to both ladies before the program, Becky Reed, Planned Parenthood grassroots organizer, Kim Lowe, a Planned Parenthood volunteer. As I mentioned before the program started, my role today is sort of to play devil's advocate as best I can, because there aren't any opposing groups. Feel free to call up to, no matter what your side, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 1-877-967-6762 for the toll-free line, 979-0919 for the more local callers. Catherine's out there awaiting your call. So, you know, I guess where I stand on this Does it matter to Planned Parenthood whether or not, it doesn't sound like it, I guess this is one of my questions before I started, was does it matter to Planned Parenthood whether you are giving out the RU486 pill or emergency contraception? Do you have a preference?
Well, certainly, again, there are two different things. The emergency contraception is contraception, and that's what we're here to talk about, expanding access to emergency contraception, which reduces the need for abortion. And it's interesting, you know, when we talk about what side you're on and sides to this issue, when really this should be a common ground issue that we can all come together on, because emergency contraception is the best way to prevent unintended pregnancies in those instances of sexual assault or contraceptive failure. And we should all be able to come together in order to promote education and access and reduce unintended pregnancies in Virginia and in the United States.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the groups that are not see, you said not to pick sides. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen and is currently happening in Richmond that does not necessarily follow the same goals of spreading the value of emergency contraception. Now, there's an organization called the Family Foundation.
Yep, the Virginia Family Foundation.
And they seem to have their own legislative agenda.
Yep, and a number of individual legislators as well. This is high on their priority list to restrict access to emergency contraception and, again, blur the lines between contraception and abortion. Some of the bills that have been filed already, introduced already, and we will continue to receive these bills until Friday when that deadline ends. But Delegate Lingenfelter, parental notification for health care, and that's been coming back for the past few years, and that would require parental notification for birth control services related to pregnancy, emergency contraception, sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. You know, all of those things which are very important for someone of any age to access those preventative health care services. Again, when you erect barriers to accessing preventative health care, you're only, you know, creating problems in situations where unintended pregnancy is more likely.
I think one of the first things that I noticed when I did a little homework on the Virginia Family Foundation's agenda is that they are trying to prevent schools from discussing sensitive issues without parental permission. What's wrong with that?
With their legislative agenda on that issue?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that, and I'm not a parent, and I don't know if either of you ladies are parents.
No.
But what's improper?
There's nothing wrong with parents being involved with curriculum in the schools, and certainly we would, you know, I don't think that's the purpose of that bill. I think what they're getting to there is that's an attack on comprehensive, medically accurate sexuality education, and that's an issue that is of concern to us at Planned Parenthood as well, and we have our own approach to that issue this session also.
So you think that that's more like sticking your foot in the door for future bills?
I think, I mean, a lot of times when they introduce legislation like this, they're just trying to, you know, create panic with people. You know, it's kind of, they're legislating an issue that's not necessarily a problem. And what I mean by that is parents are already allowed access to curriculums. Various school boards do hold open forums for parents to come in and look at various curriculums being considered, particularly for the family life education curriculum. So it's not like, you know, again, this bill isn't addressing a problem that exists. There's no problem with parents being able to find out what their kids are learning at their school. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, I always play the dumb guy, and sometimes that's a real effort, and sometimes that comes easily. And I think that for this program, a lot of this is going to come very easily because I don't have children, because I'm not a female, because a variety of these issues have not played a major part in my life to date. So I'm trying to be as informed as, or become as informed as anybody else who might be listening today. I have the luck of sitting in the chair behind the microphone and asking the questions that I got to think about all week, and probably get to ask a few more questions directly than people who call in and generally get to ask one or maybe two, which, by the way, you're welcome to call in and do. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, which is the toll-free number, 877-967-6762. Maybe you're listening on the new 103.1 down in Richmond. 1120 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about emergency contraception. I'll switch topics from the morning after pill to emergency contraception with Becky Reed and Kim Lowe, both from the, it's called Blue Ridge, right?
Yep,
not the Charlottesville, it's the Blue Ridge Planned Parenthood. Let me take a moment and tell you about the weather for the day. There is a wind advisory through 4 in the afternoon on the Market Topography Forecast. It is sunny and windy. Gusts up to 40 to 50 miles per hour today. Highs 40 to 45. Cloudy tonight with the lows 25 to 30. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Highs 45 to 50. In the valley, it's 31. In Lynchburg, fair and 33. Richmond, fair and 36. Charlottesville, 33.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support for WNRN today also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, the place to begin your enjoyment of winter outdoors. Blue Ridge has clothing and footwear for the season from Patagonia, Mountain Hardware, and the North Face, good for keeping your head, hands, and feet warm on the trail or just walking around town. That's Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, Charlottesville, at Wintergreen, in Richmond, and at BRMS.com. All right, back to today's panel. Let me push all the right buttons, which I often forget to do. Becky and Kim here in the studio. As we talk about emergency contraception, Becky, Kim, we're getting into the Virginia legislative session. I got to get rid of these words that make me slur. And what are some of the things that the Planned Parenthood folks are going to do?
Well, do you want to talk about pro-choice lobbying day, which is coming up?
Sure. Well, just in general, we're going to oppose bills that seek to limit access to contraception, that seek to restrict comprehensive sexuality education in Virginia.
And we that's a long phrase. Tighten that up for and de-jargonize that for the fools like myself.
Sure. Well, basically, just what we had left off talking about just before we went to the break, talking about sex ed in public schools in Virginia. And we're going to be introducing a bill that would have a study done by the Virginia Board of Education to determine what kinds of sex education is being implemented in schools across Virginia, because we have what are called family life education guidelines, which the Virginia General Assembly has the opportunity to amend and add to, but those guidelines are not mandated. So we don't have any picture of what's going on in schools across Virginia. And in fact, in 2004, the Department of Education did try to conduct a survey to find out what kinds of curriculum are being implemented. And of the 140 school districts, only half responded. So we really have an incomplete picture of what's happening in our schools across the state. And that's a very concerning issue, because we know that abstinence-only education is not just incomplete, but it can often be medically inaccurate and have very dangerous consequences for our young people. It has not been proven to be effective in any way. We know that only comprehensive, medically accurate sexuality education is effective in preventing unintended pregnancies and preventing the spread of sexually transmitted infections.
I guess one of the questions that immediately brings to mind for me is, there are how many school systems across the state?
140 school districts.
And how many answered the
75.
Quiz? 75 answered the quiz. So you have slightly more than half who told you what they're doing.
Right.
How many of those are doing what you think is best?
I don't have that information here with me today. I'm sorry. But our concern is that, you know, it just varies so much from school district to school district, and we aren't even able to ensure that it's medically accurate. So that's what we're trying to look into. Are the curriculums medically accurate?
So one of the goals is to say, this is what you should be teaching, A, B, C, D?
No, that's not what the bill is about. It's just about getting a complete picture of what's going on in the state, which would then allow us to look at how effective that is in any given jurisdiction. But basically, the purpose of this bill would just be to have a study done so we do have a complete picture of what kinds of, you know, is it medically accurate or not.
But is that the next goal? Is to say we should do this?
Well, sure, we'd like to, you know, have that information to look at what's effective and what's not. You know, certainly a next step from that would be to correlate, you know, what do these curriculum, what does it look like, and then what is the teenage pregnancy rate? Because, again, all of this money is being funneled into abstinence-only programs when it's never been proven to be effective, and, in fact, many studies have shown it to be to have very dangerous consequences. You know, it does not delay the first intercourse for very long, and upon the first intercourse, students who complete abstinence-only curriculum are less likely to contracept or use a condom.
Kim, I also saw where the Virginia Family Foundation is looking to have all funding for Planned Parenthood removed. In what way would that hurt Planned Parenthood? Because I would assume that all your funding doesn't come from the state.
No, Becky would probably be better at answering this than me, but my understanding is that most of Planned Parenthood's contributions come from private individuals and organizations.
Yeah, state funding is actually very limited for Planned Parenthood here in Virginia, and those monies that they are looking to restrict were used for HIV education and prevention programs. So again, why does someone take issue with HIV prevention education and programming? It's really something that's very essential to making sure that young people are receiving information about how to prevent unintended pregnancies and how to prevent the spread of sexually transmitted infections. And that's something that Planned Parenthood looks to do and something that the Virginia Family Foundation looks to restrict access and information.
And what percentage of the funding is coming from the state currently?
That's going to be different for each Planned Parenthood affiliate.
Do you get any federal money?
No. All right, the Planned Parenthood, the Blue Ridge, does not.
Is Planned Parenthood a federal organization?
No, we're a nonprofit.
Right, but can I find a Planned Parenthood group in Michigan or?
Yeah, they're affiliates.
Nevada or?
We have 120 affiliates that are throughout the United States.
Right. I really want to get a little more into what Virginia Family Foundation is looking to do, as well as, and I'm assuming that there are other organizations out there that are also looking to bring their own agenda, which doesn't match with Planned Parenthood's, to the table. Other than cutting off funding, which is one of their major goals, and you said bringing topics to the table, such as making it sound like parents already don't have access to the school curriculum, what else are some of their plans?
Again, restricting access to preventative health care for minors. And that's really, you know, the research shows that does not lead to, you know, minors disengaging in sexual activity. It only leads to preventing them from accessing health care, such as birth control, emergency contraception, sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. So you're not preventing sexual activity among young people with these policies, and you're certainly not preventing the spread of sexually transmitted infections or unintended pregnancy. In fact, policies like this could potentially lead to an increased rate of unintended pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections among young people.
I have a question I want to follow that up with, but I'll let Tina speak. Hey, Tina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, thanks. Question?
Back to emergency contraception question. And so it's threefold. Do you need a prescription for emergency contraception? Is it readily available? Can I get it at Walmart, Timberlake, Giant, CVS? And is it something that you would recommend that all women of childbearing age keep in their medicine cabinet?
Well, I can answer the first part. Currently you must have a prescription to obtain emergency contraception. As far as it being readily available, you mentioned Timberlake, CVS, and Giant. To the best of my knowledge, all of them do disperse emergency contraception. However, Walmart has made a national decision not to stock emergency contraception, and this can be very problematic because of the fact that in many communities, Walmart is the only pharmacist. Becky can discuss that more about Walmart and some other big corporations' decision not to stock emergency contraception. And lastly, yes, healthcare providers do recommend that women of childbearing age have a prescription for emergency contraception. In fact, Becky, you can elaborate on this, but wasn't there an organization that was saying that...
Yeah. In fact, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommends to their member healthcare providers that at each, you know, yearly routine gynecological exam or visit, that they do take a few minutes to educate that patient about emergency contraception and even offer to write a prescription for emergency contraception, which that person can then either hold on to that prescription and fill it at a time when it's needed, or go ahead and fill it and keep EC on hand, which we would recommend to be the best thing, because we know even if you already have the prescription, you know, you've already gone through part of that process, which starts with calling a healthcare provider to get a prescription written. Once you have the prescription, then you have to go to a pharmacy to get it filled. And there's been a lot of national, you know, stories about pharmacy refusals, which is certainly also a topic of concern. And Walmart, as Kim mentioned, nationally does not stock emergency contraception. We're also involved in a campaign with some other national pharmacy chains, namely Target right now, talking to them about their pharmacy refusal policy, because they do allow pharmacists to refuse to fill prescriptions for emergency contraception. And we're working with them, asking them to revise their policy so that prescriptions for EC and birth control filled in-store without delay or discrimination. And we're not asking them to force an employee to do something that he or she, you know, has a stated religious or moral objection to. We're simply asking them to be a responsible provider of emergency contraception and make sure that there's always another pharmacist on duty who will step in and provide emergency contraception, which, again, we're working within a limited time frame. And any delay at all can be absolutely costly in such a situation.
Hey, Tina, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is emergency contraception something that you have any issues with?
No. In fact, I want to get it for all my daughters.
All right, great, because that leads me to my next question that I'm going to ask the ladies. Thanks for calling.
Sure, bye.
979-0919, by the way. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. A little further out, 1132 on the wake-up call, as we talk about emergency contraception with Becky Reed and Kim Lowe from the Blue Ridge Planned Parenthood. Emergency contraception for minors. Currently, what's the law and the status on that?
Sure. Well, currently, it's the same for minors as it is for everyone else in the state of Virginia, where you still have to go through that entire process, which can be burdensome. Again, finding your health care provider. And if you don't have a relationship with your doctor, there's a hotline, 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. And that's the number two, that people can call. And when you reach that hotline, you'll give them your zip code, and it will list the five nearest health care providers, which has registered themselves on this directory as providers of emergency contraception, because, again, another place you could encounter a barrier is a provider who refuses to write a prescription for emergency contraception. So basically, minors, just like adults here in Virginia, have to go through that entire process, and there is not a restriction on who can get emergency contraception, but everyone has to go through that process. But in other states, and with the decision by the FDA, which is still pending, they are looking at placing various restrictions on who can get emergency contraception and how they can get it. And the holdup point in the FDA decision about emergency contraception and making it available over the counter is how would young women use it? And there has been research done, and it basically replicated the same results that they found with women of all ages, which is that women use emergency contraception responsibly. You know, just because they have immediate access to it, just because it's over the counter or in their bathroom cabinet, that does not take the place of their regular contraceptive method, and it does not lead to risky sexual behaviors.
So, obviously, it's Blue Ridge Planned Parenthood.
Well,
is
Planned Parenthood of the Blue Ridge.
Believe me, I will make the same mistake again another half dozen times. Planned Parenthood of the Blue Ridge.
Right, yeah.
Doesn't have a problem with minors using emergency contraception. But my question is, there are many medical issues where the minor can't make the decision for themselves. You need a parental approval. And so I'm curious as to why this is one that's okay, where the parent doesn't need to be involved. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that a caller or any of the three of us could list I have to easily list a half dozen things that a minor can't say, I want this done. You can't even get a tattoo if you're under 18.
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about that. The Supreme Court has considered that and has ruled that minors have a right to privacy when it comes to decisions about birth control and emergency contraception. And also, just to clarify Planned Parenthood's position, we're not, Planned Parenthood educational programming certainly encourages young women, you know, teens, young men also to be engaged in dialogue with their parents about decisions about sexuality, about decisions about family planning. And we do have a lot of women and young men who, when they come to our clinic, are there with a parent or a trusted adult. So we're certainly not out there, trying to discourage communication between parents and teens. That's actually something that we encourage, and we like to see that because we think that leads to a healthy relationship with sexuality and healthy decisions about childbearing.
In an ideal world, parents and children would be able to discuss birth control. It would be wonderful if every child felt comfortable going to his or her parents to discuss this topic. But unfortunately, we don't live in an ideal world, and there are situations where either the parents aren't around or the child may not be able to go to the parents for fear of being thrown out of the house or suffering possibly severe repercussions.
All right, let me take a moment to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. Cebo Reader's Choice for Burgers and rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center and coming soon to the Hollymead Town Center and the Downtown Mall, Charlottesville. 975 Guys. All right, let's see. We have Scott on the road west of Charlottesville. Hey, Scott.
How you doing?
What you got for us?
I apologize. I missed the first few minutes of the show, so maybe this was covered. What EC does it, my first question is what is it doing that makes it different from the morning after pill? Is it preventing the sperm and egg from uniting? What's going on? Just kind of in layman's terms, what's going on there? And then the second part of the question is that all that, I mean, we've talked about the pharmacists, the providers, and other people who are concerned with, not prescribing this. Do they have other concerns other than what's going on medically, or what are their concerns? Why are people against this?
Hey, thanks for calling. Keep listening.
All right.
Do you want to take the first part and I'll take the second part?
Sure. So Scott's first part of his question is, what is emergency contraception doing? And again, since it's just a larger dose of the same hormones that are found in birth control pills, it acts the same way that birth control does. And the way birth control prevents a pregnancy is it can inhibit ovulation. And then when emergency contraception is taken, it can also act to delay ovulation. And then it can also potentially interfere with the implantation of a fertilized egg in the uterine lining. And I think one of the problems with people's understanding of emergency contraception is the lack of understanding of the basic biological process leading to an implanted egg and therefore a pregnancy. And that is that the American Medical Association, again, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, all define, a pregnancy as the implantation of a fertilized egg. And that's where people start to get, come down on different sides of this issue, is that some people would consider the beginning of a pregnancy to be the union of the sperm and the egg. But scientifically, medically, that's not true. Roughly half of fertilized eggs fail to implant, of their own accord. That's not an established pregnancy. You will not develop a 9-month pregnancy if the egg never implants. So potentially emergency contraception could also act in that way, but primarily we know it does inhibit or delay ovulation.
As far as providers not willing to fill emergency contraception prescriptions, a lot of providers do so out of the basis of moral or religious reasons, which Planned Parenthood feels that, you know, if a company decides to have a person on staff who will not fill prescriptions on those grounds, that is one thing, that is fine, but there should be somebody there who is willing to do that. Otherwise, it really does take away the choice. And as Becky and I discussed prior to the show, I do think that in some ways a lot of this has to do with gender discrimination. I'm not aware of any pharmacist that ever refused to fill a Viagra prescription. However, there have been quite a few cases in the news where pharmacists have outright refused not only to fill emergency contraception, but also birth control pills. I think there's one in the listening area that refuses to fill any form of oral contraception.
Yeah, there is a pharmacist in Waynesboro. Last year, on March 22nd, every year is Back Up Your Birth Control Day. And last year we did conduct a pharmacy survey and did find that there was a pharmacist in Waynesboro who refuses to fill prescriptions for emergency contraception. That was written up in The Hook. It was a really great article. If you just get on The Hook online and Google Back Up Your Birth Control Day.
There you go, 11:40 here in the Wake Up Call as we talk about emergency contraception with Becky Reed and Kim Lowe from Blue Ridge Plant, no, Parenthood of the Blue Ridge. No, I still got it
close.
Wrong. Anyway, they're both from Planned Parenthood locally here in Charlottesville. You know, and I don't buy any of that moral or religious based, I won't fill the prescription, because, you know, I'd like to know how many postmen take the day off when Playboy comes out. All right, 11:41 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Okay, 21 years and 12 steps later, the apology for a rape has a man in trouble with the law. Why should we be surprised? The Hook's annual fiction contest with its $1,000 prize starts up. And did you know that BFI is typically undoing all your efforts to recycle your newspapers? Read all about it in this week's edition, The Hook, black and white and red all over. By the way, for you readers who are outside of the listening area or outside of the Hook reading area, www.readthehook.com. And don't forget that this week's show is available afterwards on Seville Podcast, www.sevillepodcast.com. Take a moment and thank 465, 465.com. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simpler way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding, it's 465fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And even though it's January, we want to thank Ted Henneberry, Mike Henrietta, and Gene McCusker for their generous support from the Fall Fund Drive. It's because of people like them, as well as our program underwriters such as Lime Tree and Gearhart's Fine Chocolates, that you have a program like The Wake Up Call and a station like WNRN. So stay tuned, tell a friend, and get ready to support the next fun drive in the spring. All right, let's see what we got here. Punch everybody's buttons back on, including Paul from Charlottesville. Hey, Paul.
Good morning. Thank you very much for all the good work you do. I'm a father and grandfather, and we are a practicing matriarchy as a family, so I don't understand this society's need to bring unwanted children into being. But I'm very concerned about the role that synthetic hormones play in our society. And I believe this is an appropriate time with this topic to interject that opinion. Dr. John Lee came out in 78 against the use of synthetic hormones. We've got fish in Colorado that the scientists say are changing from synthetic hormones, and there is such a thing as a bioidentical hormone. So I at least like people to know that that's a problem. We've got synthetic hormones in all our dairy products.
So, Paul, where are you going with this? Are you saying that the women are changing because they take...
That reality has to be part of this conversation, because synthetic hormones are playing such a major role in our children, you know, and in all the women in this country.
All right, Paul, I'm going to give you, I want you to do something for me, okay? I want you to either send me an email, abstractme@AOL.com, or go online to the Seville...
I'm not computer literate, I'm sorry.
All right, well, then write a letter to WNRN.
Uh-huh.
You can find us in the phone book.
Right.
And, you know, just remind me
I'll
that, remind me that we were talking about synthetic hormones,
Thank you.
Do a show on that in the future.
All right.
And
I'd like these women who are doing wonderful work to take this into consideration.
Well, we'll chat about it, but I think that's more appropriate. I think that's more appropriate for a more full-time hour. All right, phone lines open, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Ladies, do you get that kind of feedback from people?
I mean, that is another point that can be brought up by organizations like the Virginia Family Foundation, you know, concern about these, you know, high level hormones. But what we're talking about is, you know, a one time dosage of an increased amount of birth control. This isn't anything, you know, unusual, especially considering when birth control was first developed, it was much, you know, higher. This isn't an inordinate amount of hormones.
And well, I'm not gonna jump on Paul's side, and I don't want to lengthen the particular topic, that side of the conversation. But you know, I can see where I can kind of see this, because it's not a one-time thing. I mean, it's one time where you increase the level, but that's assuming that you were already taking birth control of some sort, isn't it? Can, if you've not taken birth control and you were relying on condoms, et cetera, can you just suddenly take an EC dosage and that be your one-time dose of synthetic hormones?
Yes, actually, you don't have to be on the pill to use emergency contraception. Also, as well, it's important to keep in mind that most women, at least the research has shown, use EC responsibly. That is, you don't have cases where women are using this, like, say, every week, or they're using it as an alternative to regular forms of birth control. You know, and as far as the risks of the possible risks of synthetic hormones, I personally feel that it would probably be far more risky for a teenager to undergo a pregnancy than to have a one-time dose of synthetic hormones to prevent a pregnancy.
And one thing that Kim just brought up that I'd really like just a few minutes to kind of sort that out is that myth that women are relying on emergency contraception as their regular form of birth control. And, you know, just on face value, you know, people react to that and they, you know, that worries them. But if you think about it and look at what that means, you know, emergency contraception, again, 95% effective when taken within 24 hours, an ongoing method of birth control, you know, up, you know, between 99 and, you know, nearly 100% effective when used correctly. So why would someone take that 5% chance on a regular basis? Women are smarter than that. Women can make decisions about reproduction, and they do make decisions responsibly. Another part of that argument, emergency contraception is $25 at Planned Parenthood, and when we conducted our pharmacy survey, we found that it's between $30 and $65 at nearby pharmacies. So again, a very costly way to have ongoing birth control and family planning methods when a monthly pill pack at Planned Parenthood, depending upon what kinds of birth control you're using, you know, $12, $13 a month. So, you know, when we hear people propagating myths like that, it's just really important to think about what they're saying and think about how unreasonable that is, given the reality.
Well,
and
I hope
the
Paul writes, because I'm all about the crap that they put on our food and feed at the animals that we eat. But I just don't know that I'll stretch it as far as the emergency contraception. So I hope he does write and remind me that I need to do the show in a more appropriate time. 979-0919. Phone lines are open. I don't know what Catherine's doing. She's vacuuming the front lobby. 979-0919, 1-877-967-6762, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That is the toll-free line. Dial us up as we talk about emergency contraception with Becky Reed and Kim Lowe. Ladies, do the fathers have a say in, or potential father-to-be have a say in emergency contraception? I mean, because my understanding is that for an actual abortion, doesn't the father have to be considered in some way, brought into the, if he's at the medical clinic, isn't he brought into the room to make sure that everyone's on the same page and that sort of thing?
That's really a personal choice. There isn't legislation requiring spousal consent or notification. And the reason for that is it would put a certain population of women at risk, and that those are women who are in, you know, abusive relationships. And that's not to say that Planned Parenthood doesn't encourage women to have discussions about, you know, about a decision about a pregnancy with a partner. We're not opposed to that. We just oppose mandating that, which would put many women at risk. But to bring it back to the original question, which is, do men have a say in emergency contraception? I mean, you know, hopefully if you are engaging in sexual activity, you're having a discussion about what your family planning method is, you know, using a condom. And again, just stressing the fact that emergency contraception is contraception. And, you know, it would be great if men would be able to have emergency contraception on hand as well. But because it is a prescription medication, only women can access emergency contraception.
All right. Let's get back a little bit about into the Virginia legislation issues. My understanding is that, and it may have been 2 or 3 years ago now, was it one of the Virginia, I don't know if it was a senator or a representative, tried to make it so that emergency contraception was not something that you could get at a state-funded university. I think it happened at JMU. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They introduced a bill which would prohibit the provision of emergency contraception at publicly funded universities, which, of course, is just a terrible idea because, you know, it's a student health center. It's on campus. And to make a student seek emergency contraception off campus, you know, then you're sending them through that whole process, which could potentially be burdensome and time consuming and result in not accessing emergency contraception in time.
Especially if you're an out-of-state student who may not have a local
exactly.
PCP.
Yeah. Exactly. So what they did was they introduced that legislation, and then they were also talking to various boards of visitors at universities around the state, and JMU, James Madison University in Harrisonburg, while the students were away on spring break, they did stop providing emergency contraception through their student health center. The students got back, and they weren't happy about that. They deserve access to emergency contraception. And so they did petitions, they organized, and they got it back on their campus. But we have continued to see that bill. We haven't seen it yet this year, but like I said, bills are still coming in until Friday. So we could potentially see that bill again.
Has that ever, anything like that ever happened here at the University of Virginia?
To the best of my knowledge, the University of Virginia does stock emergency contraception. I think it would be interesting to see how many students are aware of that. But to the best of my knowledge, I've never heard of anything similar.
Yeah, the University of Virginia Student Health Center is excellent about providing emergency contraception. It's always been there. You know, they did not respond to that pressuring to remove it from the campus. And there are a number of wonderful student organizations at the university, including Vox, Voices for Planned Parenthood, which do concentrate specifically on making awareness about emergency contraception more prevalent on their campus.
And one thing that I would just like to add is, as someone who moved to Charlottesville 4 years ago, I know firsthand that it can be very difficult to find a good healthcare provider, and also as well to schedule an appointment. When I was doing research for the show, I was thinking back, and on average, it was about a week for me to schedule an appointment with a physician. So in a case like this, this could be very, very bad. And also as well, especially for a lot of women, especially younger women, which Charlottesville has a lot of, it can be very intimidating, to put it lightly, to discuss something like unprotected sex or contraception failure with a physician that you've literally just met.
All right, 11:53 here on the Wake Up Call. Running out of time. If you want to make your phone call, please do. We want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. Blue Ridge Graphics at the corner of Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And don't go anywhere, because at noon, George Bell's here with Les Timms-Perdue. He plays the best of 80s and 90s alternative. He refuses to play Janet Jackson, Journey, or the Bengals. But you might hear the Pixies, the Clash. or Smashing Pumpkins. And requests are always welcome. Les Timps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN and WNRN.RLC.net. All right, 979-0919-1877-WNRN Rocks. Ladies, you said that you were, that Planned Parenthood's issues for the General Assembly were really to sort of battle off what a lot of the, I guess, conservative organizations are trying to bring forth. What haven't we touched on that are coming out that you do know of, even though we, as you said several times now, you won't know everything until next Friday?
Sure. Well, also, I'd like to add that we have a proactive agenda. It's a package of legislation called Put Prevention First. And in that, again, is our study on family life education throughout Virginia, also a Medicaid waiver for family planning, a Medicaid waiver for prenatal services, and also a resolution regarding the FDA's handling of the over-the-counter over-the-counter application for emergency contraception, which is just a gross situation of political overreach into a decision that should have been very simply made a long time ago to make emergency contraception available over the counter. There's no scientific basis for denying EC over the counter availability. So in addition, again, to battling bills that would seek to restrict access, we're also trying to make prevention measures more accessible to Virginians in order to reduce unintended pregnancies and thereby reduce the need for abortion in Virginia. And again, you know, that should be something that we could all work together on. But unfortunately, we will face opposition to those bills.
You are listening to 91.9 WNRN Charlottesville and 89.9 WNRS FM, Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg. What's up with the, you mentioned the overreach of government?
Sure.
Like that never happens, but what's happening with it in this issue?
Well, we just have a few minutes left, and it's actually a kind of a long timeline of events. But the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has been considering an application to make emergency contraception available over the counter for a period of multiple years now, even after two of their advisory panels voted in a vote of 23-4 to make it available over the counter. Again, meets all the FDA's criteria for over-the-counter access. From 1994 to 2004, they've received 67 applications of that nature to make something available over the counter, and this is the only one that has been rejected. And recently in the fall, in November, there was a report released from the Government Accountability Office, which really uncovered a lot of abnormalities in their decision-making process. You know, very high-ranked officials being involved in this decision-making process, which they would not usually be involved at that level. You know, some emails and communications and memos about the decision being deleted. You know, again, you know, reversing decisions made by their advisory panels. So really, you know, again, the scientific evidence is there, and the support from the medical community is there to make emergency contraception available over the counter. Again, it's the best way to prevent unintended pregnancies in cases of sexual assault or contraceptive failure.
All right, ladies, we are finishing up here in the last minute or so. Ways that listeners can help spread the word, get involved, and push forth the proactive agenda
of
Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, of course. We've got Pro-Choice Lobby Day coming up on Thursday, February 2nd. We'll be taking buses from all over Virginia down to Richmond to speak with our legislators, observe some committee hearings. You'll see testimony on these various bills, and then rally together with hundreds of pro-choice Virginians. And the way to find out more about that and sign up is to visit www.ppav.org, and that's as in Planned Parenthood Advocates of Virginia, ppav.org.
And I would also encourage all women to discuss emergency contraception with their health care provider. If you're interested in learning more information, go to Planned Parenthood's website. It gives a very nice overview. But I would also just spread the word out. In preparing for the show, it was very it very much dismayed me to learn that most people have not heard of this, and this is a shame. We should all be working to reduce the number of unintended pregnancies and abortions.
And I would also say that any women who have, what did you call them earlier? I was going to say spouses, but you said partners.
Partners,
any women who
yes.
have partners with which you're comfortable, you should also have this conversation with them.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right, we're going to finish up. Thanks for listening this week. I haven't planned next week's show yet, so I can't tell you what to hang on for. But www.cvillepodcast.com. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.